welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I am rejoined for part two of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol by Chloe.
I'm back.
Thank you for returning after a whole week.
Had to finish it.
Let us kick back off where we were going. We won't dilly-dally too much, which is the opposite of what I usually do on a podcast. But just to catch you up, in case it has been a whole week since you listened to the other half, they just found out Hendrix was the guy who was at the meeting all along. He was wearing a mask to look like Winstrom. I don't actually know why they did that.
You probably could have done it just as him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm missing something.
Maybe they would have killed him. Actually, that's probably what it was. We keep talking this out and figuring it out. Because if it was just him there, they just would have probably killed him and been like, okay, mission solved.
Yes.
But Winstrom, yeah. Okay, we figured that out. Anyway, running through a dust storm, crashed car. They've basically failed their mission because Hendrix has the codes.
The real codes.
Yes. Mm. But he doesn't have a device to send the codes to the missile. Mm. So that's our next step. But first, we'll go to where we left off. Basically, the team, after all this has happened, they're in, I guess, some tatty old room, I guess a safe house or something, and they're arguing about how everything fucked up. And so Brant's
really angry.
Yeah, having a big crack at Jane for killing Sabine. And then they have a crack at Benji for not... Anyway, they're all yelling at each other.
Brant, why do you care? You're an analyst. Why are you doing this?
What the fuck did you, Jeremy Renner? And Ethan is in the next room, just kind of staring himself in the mirror like, geez. And then he gets a phone call and he's like, is he here? Have you been followed? No. Okay, I'll see you soon. So he's obviously got some other little plan tucked away. And he goes out to the team, and as they're all yelling at each other, because I think Brant's like, you're a field agent now, Benji, you should be better. And Ethan comes out and you're just an analyst, Brant.
Yeah, sure.
So while they were fighting Sabine and her henchmen, Ethan noticed Brant was doing an incredible job of disarming and like fighting. So obviously Brant is not just
Brant's got a secret.
Yeah, he's got a big secret. And Ethan confronts him about it, and Brant's like, well, we've all got secrets. And Ethan's like, tell me then. Yeah, they're like, I'll tell you if you tell me mine. And Ethan's like, I've got something to do. They're like, well, can we help? He's like, no, you've done enough, team. And goes off. Obviously, it's just a thing that only Ethan can do, but I think he uses it as a thing to kind of shame the rest of the team for like, because everything went so badly. Anyway, Ethan goes off, and Brant actually talks to the other two and explains what happened. So Brant used to be a field officer, yes, and his last mission was protecting a couple in Croatia, which is where I was like exactly a year ago. And I was just looking, thinking about it, like, I used to go on holiday
overseas.
Once.
That was nice.
So he was in Croatia looking after this couple, and basically he had an inkling that someone was after them, and he, against his better judgment, because there's not meant to be no contact with the people they're protecting, he wanted to warn them, but against his better judgment, he didn't. And then the woman got killed. And it turns out it was actually Ethan and his wife, Julia, yes, who we remember from the last movie. So Julia was killed and Brant felt really responsible and stopped being a field agent from then on. And then also Ethan was in jail because it was like a Serbian hit team. So he killed the six Serbian guys who killed his wife, and that's why he ended up in jail. And the other two were like, mind's blown.
I think that was the turning point, because Brant was set up to be such just a nothing weird character who's just being rude to everyone and everyone hates him. And then you're like,
now we kind of see.
I get it. Yeah. He's being weird because he knows Ethan and he feels awkward about the whole situation. Like, I was responsible for your wife's death.
I'm going to Dubai with this guy, and I'm like, do I tell him? Do I not? So I still hate his guts, but his character makes a little bit more sense.
All right, you got a bit of an okay story.
So we find all that out. Meanwhile, Ethan has gone out, meets this big, long, blonde hair dude.
Fabio puts a
big, ugly Fabio, and puts a big mask on him, gets taken somewhere, and the mask is taken off, and Bogdanov is there. His friend from the prison.
Who calls him?
Sergey.
Sergey. Nice to see you again, Sergey.
Yeah. He's all really excited, and he's... So they've arranged a meeting with his cousin, who is a very famous arms dealer, which I guess is why Bogdanov is in.
Oh, they kept him around.
Bogdan is in prison. So he arranges this meeting, and Ethan's like, there's going to be a nuclear war unless you can help me out here. This guy, maybe you spoke to him, maybe you didn't, but basically he needs a satellite to set up a missile to blow up the USA. The guy's like, I can't help you, but also I'm going to help you. And he tells him, yes, I did. I know who that person is. person is that helped him, which was himself, obviously. It was basically directed him to a telecommunications entrepreneur Mumbai who has a crappy old satellite that Hendrix can use to finish his plan. So that's the next thing. And also immediately double crosses Ethan by ringing up.
Calls and Hendrix?
He calls the police. Sidorov, yeah, the cop, Russian cop, to be like, hey, I've got some information for you. Yeah.
If you give me something in return.
Yeah. Now they have to head to Mumbai because that's where... So this is the final piece of the puzzle. So missile codes are acquired. The machine that you put the missile codes into that send the message has been acquired. And then they just need the satellite, which would then tell the missile to go blow something up.
Yeah.
So they go to Mumbai and the only way they can kind of intercept this is they need the override codes from the... I think his name's Nate or something. He is this sleazy dude.
Playboy.
He's like, a wannabe playboy. So they go to a party and we're discussing as well. So Jane is, her job is to seduce this guy.
Because she's very fancy.
Yeah, she's got like this beautiful green dress, this big split, and like, do the IMF have like
splits
a team?
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, little gaps are beautiful. And like, I don't know how her boobs, like, you later see her bra, but you're like, how do her boobs look like that? That's amazing. Yeah, this IMF is like a seamstress at IMF is like making a gown like sexier. Bigger split, sexier.
I work for IMF. I am their seamstress.
Yeah. I mean, I guess where I can
that's
get to the IMF.
Job.
I'm not that good at sewing, but I'll try. They go into this party and so the plan is, and it's kind of a cute scene where Benji and Brant are discussing what their part of the plan is. So they need to get, it's one of those things, they need to get into this big computer server thing and the only way in is Brant has to jump down this big chute and there's a big huge fan, cooling fan there, and then all that's going to save him is he's going to be wearing this magnet suit and Benji's going to have this machine underneath. The magnets will stop him from falling to his death. Carry him along to do what he needs to do. And Brant's very unimpressed with this, but too bad, Brant, because
do it.
That's what you have to do. You killed Ethan's wife. This is Mrs. Payback, dude. I guess Ethan's just there to orchestrate it all. So they go into the party, got a really fancy BMW they turn up in, which
beautiful.
Is beautiful. And later on you see like everything's projected on the screen, which seems like a good idea, except she was touching the screen heaps and I'm like, dirty fingerprints all over the windscreen. That's coming up soon. Yeah, her job is to seduce this old mate. And old mate is actually, the way she gets his attention, she walks up straight towards him. It's a grape. So he just walks away. And I'm like, who's straighty 180 here, I'd be like, oh. If a woman did that to that woman that beautiful did that to me.
Yes.
She seduces him. He's like, gets his attention. And then he comes up to her showing off about his wealth and everything. And he's like, are you impressed? She's like, meh. And yeah, she's trying to seduce him. Meanwhile, Brand is ready to jump into the tunnel thing. And it's like, he's doing these stretches and we, understandably, even though I hate him, is wigging out because it's this huge drop into this big fan.
He has
and
to just trust to these magnets.
Trust Benji that's going to do the magnet thing, all right? And they're like, do it, just jump. He jumps and Jane is so tense listening to all this that she's holding old mate's hand and nearly crushes it. When and so she's like, fuck, I just fucked it, because the guy just kind of looks at her funny and walks away. And she's like, oh, I've just ruined everything. And Ethan's like, I have an idea, and goes up because old mate catches Ethan and her exchanging looks. And he's like, who's that, boyfriend, husband? She's like, no, just a coworker. So Ethan's plan is to make the other guy jealous. He comes up and gives her a big kiss.
And it works.
Just once, I want Ethan Hunt to kiss me at a bar while I'm wearing my beautiful green dress. But anyway, it works. And suddenly
he comes back. Oh, you're a very passionate woman.
You're a very passionate woman. And so her seduction ends up working, but it's going really slowly because he's like showing off all his rich things, all his Kama Sutra paintings on the wall and his very, very expensive artworks and things that he has. She manages to get him into a room. And when she's sure that they're fully safe, she chokes him out and is like, give me the codes or I'll kill you. So that's how she gets the codes. Brant manages to do his bit, puts the thing in that allows them to take control of the satellite, except
too late.
While all this is happening, Hendrix and his mate and Winstrom have basically disabled the whole thing and I've done it remotely from nearby, and everything was done for nothing. Another dead end. So, and Brant nearly dies in the tunnel. Actually, it's kind of a cool stunt where he, the way he's floating down, like he can't get up all the way to the exit. So he like crouches into a ball, falls down, nearly gets sucked into the fan, and then blows back up again. And yeah, it was actually pretty cool how he did it, even though it'd be better if Ethan did it. But anyway, yeah, so now the team can't disable the satellite. But the one good thing is Hendrix has revealed his location. So
yes,
Benji's right. Like, okay, he's actually like 6.7 miles away. Mm. We can get him.
Back in the fancy car.
Yeah, Ethan and Jane are back into the very fancy BMW and they've got 3 minutes to get there. So he's activated the missile, and obviously it's not just him pressing a button and the missile goes off. It actually has to go through Russian, like it's through a submarine or something.
And they have to say yes.
They have to, yeah. So that's a 3 minute process and they're like 3.5 minutes away and they don't get there in time because there's traffic over there in Mumbai. So obviously people crossing the road and markets everywhere. So they kind of hit another dead end there. But Ethan's like, there's got to be a way to stop it, like to stop the missile from going. And she's like, yeah, probably, but only on the launch device thing. Yeah, they go to where Hendrix is. Hendrix does a runner. Ethan chases after him. Jane goes upstairs, chases Winstrom, and she gets shot in the process. She just sighted for body shot. So she's okay, but she's a little bit disabled and unable to help. Benji and also Winstrom has like pulled all the cords out so they can't disable it straight away, and he's unplugged the power. So
Benji has those to
three,
that
yeah,
out.
Those three. Yeah, Benji's like cutting up his fingers, trying to redo all the cords, and
all while Ethan is with him in this
garage
for new cars.
So this is why, like, it is good. I just don't think it's as strong as other Mission Impossible movies. So they go into, and I don't think we'd have them in Australia, but
it's one
of those car parks. I know that I've seen them in Japan and stuff in action, but obviously in really population dense countries that need car parks, you can't just have car parks like we have them because that takes up so much space. So these are like, it almost reminds me of like a vending machine. So you drive in, it's just like, once I've seen in Japan, you just drive in this little garage door and you get out before it goes in, and then the car just gets sort of sucked in and then you just leave the keys in the car.
It goes up somewhere.
Yeah, it goes up. And the one I turned to, it was almost like a Ferris wheel. Like you just saw the car going whoop, off to the right, up and around, and free space came around.
That
so
is amazing.
It's amazing.
I had no idea what I was looking at.
Yeah, so it's a thing. And the way this one works is like it's multi-level, but all the cars are facing in a circle, all facing in each other on all these different levels. You know, when they want to pull a car out, they're probably just press like C3, and then that C3 car will come out and be pulled out and returned to the owner. So yeah, the big fight happens in there. And this is the other thing that I guess kind of doesn't make it as strong is Hendrix is a much older man, actually, in real life. The actor is the exact same age as Tom Cruise, which you wouldn't think.
But he looks a lot older.
He looks a lot older. Yeah. He also famously played the original, because he's a Swedish actor. I've just forgotten his name. Michael Nyqvist. He plays the main guy in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but the Swedish version.
I have seen that version.
Yeah, and he died a few years ago, which is really sad. But anyway, just my little bit of trivia.
Thank you.
Because I really like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and movies and books. Yeah, he's obviously a much older character, and he puts up such, I mean, his entire plan is based on this. So he wants to fight to the death, but it just seems unrealistic that Ethan, who is like the strongest, toughest man in the world, is actually struggling.
Yes.
I mean, the guy breaks Ethan's leg at one point, which I guess makes him, but then he breaks his arm Ethan breaks the other guy's arm.
He's still going.
And they just keep going and going, and like Ethan almost gets a suitcase, and the suitcase is rarely in anyone's hand. Keeps going from platform to platform and to car, different level to level. And like Ethan will almost get it, and old mate will kick it out the way, and then they'll fall down to the next level and they're really battered and bruised. Meanwhile, all the other stuff is happening because, the reason why they're all fussing in the other building is because
the
missile's on its way, and it doesn't matter what Ethan does at that terminal. If it's not, the power's not back all on and everything's not plugged in properly, then his button won't do anything. So, yeah. So they're fighting, and then Ethan's like, I'm going to get that and stop this bomb. And Hendrix is like, are you? And just like holds the case and just throws himself off.
Yeah.
And just
kills himself.
Commits suicide. Yeah. And Ethan's like, okay. Gosh. What do I do now? So he does what only thing Ethan can do. He gets into a car, he starts it, and he just drives off 100 meters, drops down, doesn't die somehow, limps out, all battered and bruised. And it's really cute. He opens up the case and is like, mission accomplished, presses the button. But nothing happens because the other team are still fighting old mate. And yeah, so he keeps like pressing the button, is like, nothing's happening. And then
gets to like 1 second.
Yeah, 1 second left. And you can see the missile, I think it's going to San Francisco. And it's just that, and then next time he presses it, they've just turned on the power, got everything back up, presses it and aborts it. And so the missile just dies and just falls into the...
It like clips a building.
Yep.
And then goes into the water.
And yeah, everyone's like, what was that? Yeah. Just keep going with my life.
Cool.
And they did it. So, and then all of a sudden Sidorov turns up and looks and is like, oh.
Not the bad guy.
So you're not the bad guy after all. And he's like, no. He's like,
I told you.
And he's like, do you need to go to the hospital?
Yes. Hospital? Yeah, please.
Please. Mission impossible, fucking done. Yes. So good on them.
A cute little ending to it, so, all sitting together.
Yeah, the ending. So you may have noticed we haven't talked about Luther at any point.
No.
So Luther's only in this movie and is just like a token moment in this movie. I guess he's Ving Rhames' schedule didn't match this movie, but he's in it at the end talking to Ethan, and Ethan is like, and you really said that, mission accomplished? Yes. And Ethan's like, yeah. He's like,
yeah.
You're so corny, dude, and teases him. The rest of the team come, Luther leaves, and Ethan's like, oh, we had nothing, no one to help us. We just had each other. We did really well, which is the opposite of how they were acting earlier when they were fighting in that room. Yes. But he's like, teamwork, we did it. Teamwork makes the dream work. And he gives him all phones as like, I'd like us to stay a team. So just take a phone and, you know, I'll let you know when the next mission is. Which, I mean, they all work for the same company. I feel like that's a really dodgy way of... Anyway, I don't understand how the AMF works still. Brandt is the only one who doesn't want to take the phone because he's like, you don't want me on your team. Mystery, mystery. And Ethan's like, why? He's like, I'm responsible for your wife. And he's like, how do you know she died? He's like, there was a body. He's like, was there? Did you see it? And he's like, no. And he's like, so it turns out Ethan reveals it was all a bit of a setup to stage his wife's death.
Because, so that she could stay safe.
So she could stay safe because as long as her and Ethan were together, she was always going to be at risk. Yes. Because if you remember in the third movie, she gets kidnapped and nearly murdered and it's all very dramatic. So yeah, that's their plan. So Ethan was actually in that jail for a reason. He was doing a mission. He knows that something, Cobalt has people in the prison feeding him intel or something. So Ethan's job was to go in the prison, find out who that was. And, you know, he had to kill 5 Serbian dudes to get into prison. So he had to actually go through the process of being sent to prison, which is pretty hectic.
Yeah.
But he did that in exchange for Julia being safe.
Ah, okay.
Which then is kind of ruined because as he's talking to Brand, he looks up and he's like looking across the way at as a little ferry, and Julia gets out.
Julia, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if you should be in the same area as Julia ever, but they sort of look at each other and smile and that's kind of it. And Brand's meanwhile is like, okay, I thought I fucked up, but I didn't. Ethan walks off and he gets a phone call and they're like, your next mission, if you choose to accept it, is about the syndicate, which is what happens in the next 2 movies.
I was going to ask, is that actually what happens?
Yeah, the syndicate's like a huge big thing in the next movie and carries on to Mission Impossible Fallout. And that's it.
Right.
That's number 4, Ghost Protocol, baby.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm an action movie person now. I like action movies. I didn't know that I knew it.
I love it so much. Yes. Yeah, if you want some suggestions for action movies, I'll give you all my favorite action movies. So, yeah, it's an awesome movie. I just knock it down a little bit because of the ending. And it's still a good ending. Any other movie, I'd be like, that's sweet. But in the Mission Impossible movie, if you compare some of the other endings. But it's still good. Yeah, it's a wonderful movie. And the scenes with the building and everything, like, that's just out of control.
Beautiful to watch.
And Brad Bird doing this as his first feature length, like, first live-action movie. He's intense. He's like, okay, well, we're just going to make Tom Cruise walk on the outside of a building for weeks and weeks. Okay, well, let's talk about, what do we call them? Tom Cruise-isms. Something I always, the only one I ever take a lot of note of is running when I'm watching movies.
Oh, there was lots of running in this one.
Yeah, there was a lot of running. It's like when he's as the general in the Kremlin, he like is sprinting as the general through all these stone tunnels under the Kremlin. Then there's the big running scene when he's in his beautiful shiny blue suit running and he's like the proper, such a Tom Cruise run. Yeah, he just runs like he's chasing Hendrix into the car park area. Lots of sprinting through there. So
even at the very beginning in the jail with his friend, dragging his friend along, running in the jail.
Yep. Oh. Just lots of running in this one. And then they had to like try and keep up with the third one, which is just nonstop running for the second half of the film.
That was like a whole minute of him running in the third film.
I know, it's so good. It's such a good run too.
Yeah,
so that's running, heaps of that. Obviously stunts, he did everything himself. And if you have the DVD or Blu-ray of this movie, the making of is really, really good because they show all that. And so what are the other stunts in this? I mean, the prison, I mean, that's just fake fighting. So that's not.
What about on the outside of the building when he has to jump onto the van?
Oh, yeah, he would have done that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we just have a few safety ropes that they edit out. But otherwise, because when he hits the roof of the van and then just bounces off onto the ground.
kind of an army role, but it looks very painful.
Yeah, that looks looks like Tom Cruise doing it the whole time, which, I mean, it was, but it looks painful the whole time. Anyway, yeah, he did that. And so, yes.
What about the car? Sorry, did you already say? The car falling? Do you reckon?
I don't. I think they would have done that in a way that it would have been a lot safer than it was.
Definitely. Like, definitely. A dummy, surely. Definitely with did the, not. With the airbag coming out, there's no way you would have been able to.
No.
No, that would hurt
a lot.
Like,
I think there's got to be a point where Tom Cruise is like, don't need my face smashed in today.
But probably everything else on the car park they would have done, though.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like he broke his, like, actually broke his leg too. Fuck. And Ethan Hunt's bones would be so strong, so that's hectic. So other Tom Cruise-isms, there's that bewildered thing that he does, but that's more of an Ethan Hunt-ism so much as, oh, no, no, actually, no, this is a Tom Cruise-ism because he does it like an oblivion stuff where he just kind of goes like, what the fuck? Or like he's overwhelmed or kind of annoyed or whatever. None of our big Tom Cruise laughs. Not really any Tom Cruise smiles.
So, yeah, some I noticed in the first three where there was a lot of panning of his face, just big smiles.
Yeah. There's
a lot of filming of just big Tom Cruise smile.
Yeah. So this one, I don't think it really had that in this No. I think because it was so, like, action-packed the whole time, Tom Cruise had not even 1 minute to smile. Like, just go, bang, 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 keep going.
And I know that there was that one kiss with Jane, but there wasn't really the love interest for him.
No, and...
Because I guess...
That is something... So the first one didn't have love interest. Oh, no, they kind of did with her, which was a...
It was a weird one. That was something...
Which I never understood. Second one had Tandy Newton, which was horrible, tacked on James Bond style one that I'm still mad about. Third one hit a wife, but for the rest of them, he kind of does. Well, in the fifth film, but it's just never beyond
a couple
of meaningful looks. There's nothing like there's never like a James Bond thing where he has to sleep with every woman he comes across. It's just, I've got to get my job done. I'm kind of interested in the Wiss woman, but I'm too busy doing this.
Because I felt like the second one, especially, he was being very seductive like the whole time. It was just him being a sexy man. But this one, he was more being like action man.
Which is, and same as the last one, like even though he had a wife and everything, he was still action, and then a few tender moments back to action.
We won't talk about the second one.
I told Chloe that if she wanted to watch any of the movies to catch up, that don't worry about the second one, but you did it.
I did it. I wanted to see all of them. I watched it with Sam and we were pretty much giggling the whole time. We still enjoyed it though. It wasn't, I agree with what your sister said. It wasn't a bad film. It was just ridiculous.
It's such a product of its time. Exactly. And it's a John Woo film from the year 2000. Yes. Like, I don't know.
I'm very sad there was no glasses with a camera in them in this one.
I was hoping
they would keep going with that.
Yeah, just keep going.
Look, there was so much technology in this one. I don't think they needed it.
Yeah,
the technology level was way higher in this one than, and obviously it's like 11 years after the first one, but
and which is, watching movies like this, you do see how much technology changes, because even between 3 and 4,
huge,
because 3 there just had like still had flip phones and stuff, and then 4 suddenly like touch screens were much,
their car is telling them when people are coming.
Like, it's actually much more, it's caught up, even though it's 2011, it's still much more closer to now than even the third movie was, which is always interesting to watch, like how they project technology and then seeing it actually match how technology actually changed, which is pretty cool. I think for Tom Cruise's, there was no grenades or anything. I should always try and note this stuff down, but I never do, so may have missed a couple of Tom Cruise-isms. I guess we'll probably just rate it now. I've had a think, and I think I have a rating system, but Chloe, I would like to hear what you rated this movie.
I'm gonna rate this movie out of, what do we call them, magnetic gloves, sticky gloves?
How many of them?
And it's out of 5. Four for the fourth movie.
So four gloves. Dodgy
did not work.
Dodgy sticky gloves.
Yeah. Sticky gloves.
Out of 5.
4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it.
I'm
confused
really
as to why I did not see it, because
I don't think I saw it in the movies. I think I missed a couple of Mission Impossibles for whatever reason. I think it was because I didn't like Tom Cruise, I guess. How times change. And also, which I regret deeply, because this 2010 to 2011 period was just Tom Cruise looking fine as hell, especially when he's looking bewildered, looking at his gloves. Oh my God. I know I keep talking about it because I keep looking at my action figure.
And remembering that scene.
And just thinking about that scene, which, he's dressed like it. He's got real little clothes.
If only he had the bewildered face on that.
Yeah. He kind of looks, the way he stands, looks like a mummy at the moment.
Oh, he does. He has a furrowed brow. He could be confused.
Yeah, he's there. He's overwhelmed. Yeah, don't worry. I'll share some like really detailed pictures of my figure. I have put it on my social media before, but why not? Because it's
the people need to see.
It's a very fancy figurine. I'll rate the movie now instead of talking about how hot my action figurine is. I'm going to do a little bit of an unorthodox one. I'm going to give this one 4.5 fuck Jeremy Renner's out of 5. because I hate him so much.
Oh, I'm going to have to Google him and see what else he is in. Oh, I don't know this guy.
He's Hawkeye in the Avengers movies. I mean, those movies are great.
I have not been an action movie person. I'm going to have to go back and watch all these action movies.
Did you watch Tag?
No.
No, he's in that and he's a pain in the ass in that. I can't even think of what else he's in. He's in heaps and...
He looks so familiar. I'm sure I've seen something with him.
Because even watching Tag, I think it meant like I don't understand why he's such a big Hollywood actor, because he's not a good looking man, really. He's not a particularly good actor and he seems like an asshole. Like, he got in trouble for saying some really gross stuff about Scarlett Johansson's character in the Avengers.
Really?
He's like kind of sexist. And what's his face? Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, joined in. And then everyone was like, nah, that's really sexist, guys. And so Captain America was like, I'm really sorry. No excuse. I will never make those gross comments again. And Jeremy Renner's like, I'm sorry you're so easily offended about a fake character.
Wrong.
And we're like, so there was that. And last year, I think it was, he created his own social media app that was just all about him. And it was
very confusing.
So it was like a real shit Instagram. And it was just him posting pictures and you could comment on them. But you could boost your comment by spending money on like stars to boost your comment.
Why?
So like it was like a money making thing. And like it was like he was like, apps. Hey, kids like apps. Can we make an app about me? And they're like, yeah, I guess. And they made it. And then they're all like shocked that trolls took over it and ruined it. And
I'm definitely going to look this up.
And then a few months later, just shut it down. And it's hilarious.
That's really embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Apparently he's a bit of a jerk. He's gone through a big custody battle with his wife and some bad things have been said about him. Anyway, he's a fucking cunt and I hate him.
It is justified then. You're allowed to have four and a half.
Yeah, and I keep seeing people talk about how much they hate Jerry Renner. I'm like, yes, everyone hates him. So yeah, 4.5 out of 5. Fuck Jerry Renner's. Almost inclined to give it 5, but I'm going to save that for Mission Impossible Fallout, which will be coming soon. Okay, well, that about wraps us up. We did pretty good.
Awesome.
Time-wise. Good on us, Chloe. If you want to debate with me about Jerry Renner or fucking whatever, you can catch me on the internet. It's Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram and Tom Cruise Review no S on Twitter, or my website's tomcruisereviews.com. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you liked watching these movies, and you should definitely watch 4, 5, and 6.
Something inside me has awoken.
Yes. There's some shit ones, action movies out there, but there's a lot of good ones, and I'm very excited for you to discover all these movies. In the meantime, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Bye.